Gilman and Company, 102.5, 106.3, the game, streaming live on Twitter, Twitch, YouTube, and Facebook Live. We are live from the Busy Bee Plumbing, Heating, and Air Conditioning Game Nashville Studios. We are live at Assembly Food Hall here, presented by the Southern Bank of Tennessee. And I believe, Ian, they are setting up for a University of Kentucky event here at Assembly Food Hall. They got the blue and white pom-poms. They got the little UK logos on the tables. They got some sort of VIP. They got it roped off.
Yeah, they're playing tonight.
Some sort of VIP Kentucky event that's about to go down.
Do they know you went to Louisville?
Well, I'm just going to say, you know, Kentucky's had a great season. They're ranked 15th right now in the country. I'm very, very happy for them and wish them very good luck here in the SEC basketball tournament. It's not as good as being 13th like Louisville is, but 15th isn't anything to scoff at by any stretch of the imagination. Okay, speaking of bones to pick, I have a bone to pick with Joe Rexroad. So this morning I was on Robbie and Rexroad, and we were arguing about the direction of the Titans. And look, I said I didn't like it when Rand Carthon got fired and Chad Brinker got bumped up. I didn't like it. I still really don't like it. I'd say start over. And instead, the Titans said, no, you'll see. Rand, they didn't say Rand was the problem, but there was a lot of Rand was the problem. You know, they didn't want to say it, but their actions said it. And since then, they've gone out and done things that I complained about every single day for multiple years. I've told the right tackle story every day on this program for 3 years. Last year, they went into the draft with no tackles. 5 minutes after free agency opened, they had a starting left tackle and a starting right tackle. I talked about the injured guys. Tajay Spears didn't have an ACL. Jarius Sneed had bad knees, taking risks on guys that, well, he was hurt, but you'll see, he'll be okay. Will Levis is an injury issue. These guys, 17 games for Xavier Woods, 17 games for Dan Moore, 17 games for Cody Barton, 16 games for Kevin Zeitler, 17 games for Van Jefferson, 17, 17, 17, 16, 17, 17. I love it. Again, the number one ability in the NFL's availability. I've talked about the old man Floyd Reese. He was an injurist. He didn't like you if you were injured. Just like a racist doesn't like you with your race. He didn't like you if you were injured. He was an injurist. And so the Titans have done a lot of things. So far, it's early, that I like. And this morning, Joe Rexroad said that because I have been positive with some of the things they've done, that it was fanboying over the Titans front office. Here's what he said.
Titans should be adequate on the offensive line, which is certainly much, much, much better than it's been the last couple of years when they've been winging it with 270-pound centers and Andre Dillard and right tackles playing left tackle.
So you're in your fanboy phase with this front office. How
is that a fanboy phase? Do you dispute anything that I just said?
No, but the thing that I would question, and again, I'm not going to sit here and claim to know. I mean, none of us know, but I'm skeptical of Dan Moore. I mean, I understand that he got better last year. And we would all agree, like, if we're comparing him to Nicholas Petit-Frere or Dillard, okay, fine. Yes, it's an upgrade. But if I would argue that if he doesn't take a pretty significant step, even from last year's improvement, then it's still a problematic spot for a team that also has a real question at center. I mean, are they better? Yes, I think they're better. If they could get to middle of the pack, I think that's – I don't think you can ask too much more, but I'm not sure they can still with this group. I mean, you just seem a little optimistic for me.
Okay. So here's where I think we have to delineate the difference between, hey, I believe in them a little bit, or like the moves they've made, and I'm all in on my guys, baby. There is a big difference between the two. In the case of what Joe's are, what he's doing is he's playing the referees here. He's moving the goalpost. He is arguing that because I'm not slamming the Titans, which I have been doing all the time, that now it's fanboying because I think, yeah, this will be better than it was 2 years ago when Andre Dillard and Jalen Duncan gave up 21 sacks. I think TD said the Titans at right tackle gave up 23 sacks this year. Last year, Dan Moore led the NFL in sacks allowed at 12. That is still significantly better than 21 and 23. Dan Moore averages 8.5 sacks a year. I'm telling you right now, Dan Moore is not going to be perfect. Dan Moore is going to go up against elite edge rushers, and he's going to get beat, and the quarterback is going to get sacked. But nowhere near as much as the quarterback was getting sacked before. Again, I like the fact that the Titans have fixed right tackle. J.C. Latham can play right tackle in the NFL, and it'll be fine. Plays 17 games a year, showed enough last year that that's spots filled. They've stopped signing and trading for injured players, and they haven't made, in my opinion, any mind-numbingly stupid decisions like taking a guard with the 11th overall pick. Now, if they take Will Campbell, number one overall, we'll have problems. But to me, calling it for what it is and saying, hey, that was a good move, when it's a good move, Dan Moore, to me, that's a good move. But Jared, he's not Trent Williams, and you don't get Trent Williams in unrestricted free agency. Laremy Tunsil has taken a step back, and the Houston Texans traded him for basically a second, a third, and a fourth. If the Titans traded a second, third, and a fourth for Laremy, you'd go nuts. What about our draft capital, Jared? Dan Moore is a 26-year-old solid starting left tackle. As in, he starts all the games. He's solid because he doesn't get benched. When you've had bad left tackles, like Andre Dillard and Jalen Duncan, they get benched. When you've had bad right tackles, like Nicholas Petit-Frere, a.k.a.?
PT.
PT. When you have bad right tackles like PT, they get benched. He doesn't get benched. Well, Jared, they've tried to replace him. Kaharski wrote that the reason they draft Troy Faltanu was because Troy Faltanu fell to them in the draft. They weren't expecting it. They took him, and guess what? No matter who they've drafted, Broderick Jones, Faltanu, they haven't been able to get Dan Moore out of the lineup. That's a good, to me, that's a like a good move that this team needed. Well, what do you want me to do, slam him? No. But again, if I don't say something bad, I'm a fanboy. If I say something bad, I'm just, oh, he's just got an agenda. And so there was a Reddit thread on me, like the Patriots people were like, what is this guy? He says Vrabel's a real a-hole. What do we make of him? And they're like, oh, he's terrible. I'm like, Vrabel was an a-hole. Like, that's calling it how it is. Phones, 615-737-1025, Stillman & Company, 1025 The Game. Stillman & Company, we went a little long right there with TD. So, because of that, we got Chad Withrow coming up next from Outkick Live from Assembly Food Hall here at the South Side. Excuse me, the South Stage on Level 2. Chad Withrow is next. Stillman & Company, 1025 The Game. Stillman & Company live out here from Assembly Food Hall here downtown Nashville. Once again, Assembly Food Hall is the entertainment capital of Nashville, conveniently located across from Bridgestone Arena. They got tons of great, exciting events going on all weekend long. Tomorrow night, do not miss James Hype on Skydeck. And Saturday, it's a St. Patrick's Day party with Sam McCrary and The Mix, and a DJ set from Ricky Retro. Skydeck at Assembly Food Hall is always a great time. Joined now by Chad Withrow from Outkick, presented by the Southern Bank of Tennessee. Chad Withrow, how are you?
I am great, Jared. Always excited to be joining you.
So I want to start with this, which is today Charles Robinson was on Robbie and Rex Road. I mean, this is obviously not any groundbreaking news, but based off the free agent moves the Titans made, they weren't interested in Sam Darnold, they weren't interested in Russell Wilson, they weren't interested in Aaron Rodgers, they weren't interested in any kind of big-name starting quarterback, even the little-name starting quarterbacks like Mac Jones, they weren't interested in him from what I've been told. It looks like they're going to draft Cam Ward. And so they've spent some money, they've a lot of one-year deals, they get a big deal for Dan Moore, but when it all comes down to drafting Cam Ward, how do you feel about that?
I feel excited for the fans of the Tennessee Titans, if that's the case. And let me explain what I mean by that. I think the worst thing you could do to this fan base is try to convince them that the correct route is to not take a quarterback, not invest in a free agent quarterback, try to get a bunch more picks, and suck again in 2025 in hopes that it starts to turn in 2026 and in hopes that you suck so bad that you pick in the top three again and that a great quarterback is there for you to take as the franchise quarterback. That's a tough sell to a fan base. Not that this fan base was buying anything by the end of the season. I saw the attendance in the last few games. I don't blame anybody for not going, but I mean, I've seen better attendance in Cookeville for high school state championship games than I did in Nissan Stadium for some NFL games late in the season. So if you wanted to risk this fan base checking out even more, then I think you go that route. Now, I'm not saying that's not the appropriate route. You do have to hit rock bottom before you can become a contender again. And if that was the plan, I would understand the thinking of the Titans, but I also understand that it's a tough sell. Again, I've been consistent with this from the start. If you believe in Cam Ward or Shedeur Sanders or any quarterback, then you take them with the number one overall pick. But what this guarantees more than anything, Jared, is that the excitement level will be there with this fan base and this market because they've got a young prince that's coming to town to hopefully save this team. And that's what the good news about all of this is you're going to have plenty of fodder on your show to talk about because everyone is going to get themselves excited about Cam Ward.
Yeah, it's funny you say that because my opinion on Cam Ward hasn't changed, but I do think the fans' opinion since the end of the season has changed as far as Cam Ward is concerned. But I ask you this, which is, what do you make of the free agent moves? They pay top dollar for what's an average starting left tackle. I mean, I know that there's the stat out there, and I thought this was incredibly misleading. The Athletic said he's allowed the most sacks and the most pressures over the last 4 years. Well, that's because guys like Andre Dillard and Nicholas Petit-Ferrer, who we've had to watch, Jalen Duncan, who we've had to watch, those guys have all been benched because they were so bad. This guy doesn't get benched. He averages 8.5 sacks a year. Dillard and Duncan allowed 23 sacks in 2023. But I say this, they spent on Dan Moore, then a bunch of one-year deals on guys who play 17 games a season like Kevin Zeitler and Xavier Woods and Draymond Jones and not household names, but solid starting names in the NFL. What do you make of their free agency plan so far?
It's lukewarm is what I think about it. Looks like a team that you can't really figure out exactly what they're trying to do, good or bad, when I see these moves. The Dan Moore signing gave me a very different response, and it was anger over J.C. Latham being a top pick. Just the whole thing about, oh, he's a left tackle. You'll see. He look at this body and look at this ability. This guy, you can play anywhere. He's going to be a starting left tackle, and that's why we picked him where we picked him and didn't take, I don't know, Brock Bowers or any number of players. Hell, Bo Nix. You know, there's a lot of quarterbacks that would be better off the Titans would have right now also, and they took J.C. Latham. And everyone said, hey, the guy played a lot of right tackle, looks like a right tackle. Oh, no, he's left tackle. Oh, wait a minute. Rand Carthon's gone. Let's go sign top dollar for a left tackle and move J.C. Latham to right tackle. That bothers me. That's another admission of a mistake. Not that J.C. Latham can't turn himself into a great right tackle and it'll be fine, but I just don't like that whole element of this. With the other moves, I mean, I can understand the positions of need and what they're trying to address with it, but I don't know that anybody's going to be excited about what the Titans have done as opposed to, let's say, what the New England Patriots have done, where clearly they have an identity that's forged in Mike Vrabel and what he wants. He's going and getting guys he's familiar with, guys he knows that can play for him and play well, and going and signing guys. So there's just a lot more direction with an organization like that as opposed to what we're seeing with the Titans.
So wait a minute. You like what the Patriots have done in free agency more than the Titans?
I like that they know what they want and they're going to get it. Yeah.
Oh, I completely disagree. I think the Titans know what they want. Every single one of these guys is a mid-level NFL starter who plays 17 games a season. Like, they just want guys like that. Xavier Woods is a safety who plays every snap for the Carolina Panthers last year. They just want a guy that they know can start in the NFL and that he will play every single game instead of, oh, we've patched that hole at corner with Chidobe Awuzie, who had injury issues in Cincinnati, and then 3 games into the season, he's gone. Like, that I like. With the Patriots, I feel like Harold Landry, Robert Spillane, Milton Williams was a nice pickup, but I don't like what the Patriots have done. I think they're just spending money to spend money. I think the Titans actually they're going and just filling holes with guys that play 17 games. I actually like it, Chad.
Well, that's crazy that you like something the Titans have done.
Thank you.
I'm impressed. Good job. Look, if that's what they're doing, then yeah, I can understand it. But let me defend Vrabel and the Patriots and Harold Landry for a bit. When the Patriots were at their best, they could take any reclamation project and make them better. And they knew the types of guys they wanted. Whether it be just strictly based on talent or mindset or whatever, or a combination of the two, they seemed to always get it right with guys they brought in, right? Like Randy Moss is the classic example, who looked like he was maybe done. But because of the talent, they took a chance on him, and it paid off big time for the Patriots. So I do think there's some level of that with Harold Landry. I don't think he's going to go and set the world on fire anymore with the Patriots. I do think he's going to be a lot better than he was at the end with the Titans. And I believe that Mike Vrabel knows that about him, and I think he's going to improve when he gets there. So I see some traces of old Patriots moves with some of the things they're doing. And I like that part of it. And I'm a big Mike Vrabel fan also, admittedly.
Chad Withrow with us. You brought up J.C. Latham. You know, something that I just couldn't get over was last year. The Titans draft J.C. Latham to be a left tackle when he played right tackle in college. And Rand Carthon and Brian Callahan got up there. And basically, it felt to me like they treated everybody like we were all stupid, saying like, of course he can play left tackle. And the whole defense was, well, Bill Callahan says he can play left tackle. And I remember you and I talking about it, and you said, you know what coach I trust? Nick Saban. And Nick Saban never once thought about moving J.C. Latham off of right tackle. I'm with you in the anger when it comes to J.C. Latham's pick last year and what looks like, again, if you wanted Latham so bad, trade down and take a right tackle. But at the same time, I guess I would say, does it show that the Titans at least are getting some sense back that instead of, you know, saying, well, we took him seventh, he has to play left tackle, this new general manager, and I guess Brinker's more empowered, they're like, no, 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 he's playing right tackle because we think like Nick Saban, who thinks he's a right tackle.
Yeah, the only thing worse than that press conference you're talking about where they tried to make everyone feel they were gaslighting people to make them feel like they're stupid for daring to question the difference between playing left tackle and right tackle in football and how there is a big difference in the two, was the press conference where Rand Carthon tried to lecture everyone on not criticizing or asking tough questions about a pick. Because, guys, this is a big night for these kids. We can't be critical of these kids. They're just kids. And this is a big night for them. And you guys are here questioning everything.
Best night of their
lives.
I just
don't think it's right. That was bad, right? That was the one that was even worse. And yeah, I'm going to trust Nick Saban over Bill Callahan, who sucked as a head coach in college at Nebraska, the one chance that he got. And Nick Saban is, the greatest coach of all time in college football. So I'm going to listen to him over anything that Bill Callahan thinks about a guy. I'm also going to listen to the guy who'd been around him the most and seen him every day in practice and seen him in games and had coached him the way Nick Saban had, to believe and know what he is in the NFL or what he is as a football player, as opposed to Bill Callahan. I will agree with you on this one point, Jared. Like the moves or not, what it does say to me is that Mike Borgonzi and Chad Brinker are in control and they're not afraid to admit a mistake in the past quickly. And that's what I think they're doing with that move with Dan Moore. And I do like that part of it, because what you don't want is someone that's so stubborn and they're so loyal to their own opinions, even if it's old opinions, that they can't adjust and adapt. And you got to adjust and adapt quickly in this league. So I like that they're at least admitting that mistake, even if they're saying, basically without saying it, it was Rand Carthon's mistake and not our mistake. I don't care. If you do something that you know quickly you regret, then go ahead and make a different decision and move on from it and go and chart a different course. I do like that about this group so far.
Does it not feel, Chad Withrow with us on the program, does it not feel like Brinker's not saying it, but the actions are telling us, even though Rand Carthon hired him and he was supposed to be part of this great collaboration with Rand Carthon, that he kind of thinks Rand Carthon's a dope?
Yes, I think that's absolutely what I'm seeing with this. And look, sometimes you might think from the outside, like, okay, you know, I like who this guy worked with and who he worked around. And then you just don't really know until you get up close and personal with someone and actually work with them on a day-to-day basis, right? I can say that about a lot of people that I've come across, you know, and done jobs with in media or worked with. Like, what you think one thing of them when you on the outside, then you get with them. And sometimes you think a lot more highly of them when you work closely with them. And other times it's the opposite of that. So, no, I do believe that there's there's some admission that, you know, I'm not going to say an all-out dope the way you phrased it, but that Rand Carthon was not doing a good job, and they heavily disagreed with a lot of the things that he was doing. And I think we're going to see more admissions of that with some things they're probably going to do.
So Joe Rexroad accused me today. By the way, I laughed out loud. Chad Withrow with us on the program.
Hey, are Joe and Paul going to fight on air? Like, someone sent me some clips of those two going at it, and I'm like, goodness gracious, I don't think this is even playing around. It looks like these guys are about to come to blows on air. I just got done talking to you about, you know, co-hosts nearly fighting. I felt like those guys were going to throw punches.
Well, it's funny because I guess, I don't know, I listened to most of Paul this week on the program. I didn't feel like it was any more ornery than it normally is between those two. Unless I missed something. I feel like I...
Oh, it was... It
I feel
was,
like
it
they
was
always
ornery.
Get contentious with each other.
It was onerous. I can tell you that from what I saw. The first time, the earlier in the show, when Joe was going after Paul... He got very angry, and then Paul got very angry later with it, which I just kind of sit back and laugh at what they're arguing over. But, man, that was that was just a separate aside. Continue with what you were saying about what he wrote.
Well, Joe tried to argue today that still there's no difference between left tackle and right tackle, even though last year I took the five highest paid right tackles, and their average weight is 335. And the five highest paid left tackles and their average weight is 314 or something like that. And I'm like, J.C. Latham at 346, he's a right tackle. And Joe's like, and I laugh out loud because it's like, again, I felt like the Titans were insulting everybody's intelligence last year, saying that there was no difference between a right tackle and a left tackle. And I bring this up because I feel like Titan fans can convince themselves of anything. So when it comes to drafting a right tackle who 2 days before the draft, not one Titan fan wanted to draft, when it comes to drafting him, flipping him to left tackle, by the end of the weekend after the draft, everybody was convinced Bill Callahan was Jesus and that J.C. Latham was going right to Canton. And the reason I bring this up is I feel like some of this may be happening with Cam Ward, where Cam Ward, all the draft gurus are saying, you know, even people talking inside to the league, you know, it's not a first round grade. Some people have. Some people say, you know, he would only be ahead of Kenny Pickett and Michael Penix as far as former first rounders are concerned over the last 6 years. I am a little worried that Titan fans have gone from this quarterback class sucks to Cam Ward is the next Mahomes. And I'm not sure there's going to be any stopping that. My opinion of Cam Ward has not changed. What do you make of this mythical figure that is developing in front of us with Titan fans in Cam Ward?
I'm now laughing at the image of Bill Callahan as a Jesus-like figure, as Jesus dipped his hand into the water to turn it to wine, that he just anoints J.C. Latham as left tackle, and he touches his helmet.
Thought Petit Ferrer could play right tackle.
Yeah, you're right tackle, you're now left tackle. You're now guard. You're now, and arguing that positions are the same because guys weigh close to the same, that would be like arguing there's no difference between linebacker and running back because they both weigh around 225 pounds. And it's the exact same. Hey, no difference between your quarterback and receiver. I mean, both of them are athletic and they, you know, weigh anywhere between 210 and 230. So I don't see any big difference. They're usually tall also. Same exact position. That's a ridiculous argument. If anybody's arguing there's no difference between right and left tackle. But yes, the Titans fans are going to get themselves excited about Cam Ward. And I could show you plenty at Miami that gets me excited about Cam Ward. I'm not all out on Cam Ward. I never was. I'm not all in on Cam Ward the way I was with Michael Penix, who I still love. And if someone is saying that he's rated ahead of Michael Penix Jr. coming out of college, that's great news to me because I think Penix is going to be a heck of a pro. So, look, Titans fans can find their way to get excited about anything, and that goes the same for any fan base. In any quarterback you draft, they're going to buy in on them. So I think you're going to see a lot more of that as we get closer to the draft. And if these signs that we've been given, this evidence that we see, becomes more and more clear that it is going to be Cam Ward, that hype train is only going to gain steam as we get closer and closer to draft night.
Chad Withrow is presented by the Southern Bank of Tennessee. Chad Withrow, again, your bank, the Southern Bank of Tennessee, your bank for small business. The hot seat awaits next. Stillman & Company, 102.5 The Game. Stillman and Company live from Assembly Food Hall out here downtown Nashville ahead of the SEC Men's Basketball Tournament. Chad Withrow is with us. Chad is presented by the Southern Bank of Tennessee, your bank for small business. Chad, do you have a thought or do you want to go to the hot seat?
I just want you to ask Joe next time you see him that I'm the same height and weight as Aaron Rodgers. Ask if he thinks I could play quarterback like Aaron Rodgers in the NFL.
Well, you know who Derrick Henry has the exact same dimensions as, right?
Who?
Donald Trump. They're both like, I think it's like 6'3", 238 or something. Both Trump and Derrick Henry have the same height.
That hearty laugh you heard in the background, by the way, I'm still sitting here after the show with Jonathan Hutton, and he got a kick out of that one as well. Yeah, it's all the same, right? I mean, come on. They're just a bunch of dudes that, you know, have the same height and weight. So clearly it's all the same skill set.
Number one, who's a better running back, Donald Trump or Derrick? I kid. Okay, number one. Who's going to be the Cleveland Browns quarterback? They traded for Kenny Pickett. Russell Wilson's taking a visit. Albert Breer speculating Kirk Cousins could be there. And, of course, they have the number two pick, and everybody says they're going to take a quarterback. Chad Withrow, who's going to be the Browns quarterback?
I still think they're going to take Shedeur Sanders, and they're going to go quarterback with that number two pick. I know there's a lot of mock drafts that say otherwise, but I think that I don't know what the Russell Wilson thing is. That's a little bit alarming. I think it's going to be, you know, Kenny Pickett is back up, and they're going to draft a quarterback with a number two pick, and it's just going to be the most awkward situation. Actually, it won't be awkward because they'll just tell Deshaun Watson not to show up on campus ever again, and he can go rehab on his own, and then that quarterback will then have the team, even though there's the specter of Deshaun Watson and his contract that's been so bad for that organization hanging over them. So right now, you ask me, I'm going Shedeur Sanders as the starting quarterback.
Number two. Who is going to be the New York Giants quarterback at number three?
Gosh. All right, I'm going to do it. Jackson Dart. I think he's going to be the surprise of the draft and be picked way ahead of everyone else. Charles Davis said he was going to go third overall. I'm going to go with his mock right now because just the options that are still out there outside of Aaron Rodgers are so bad with the veteran free agent market. And then if the Browns do, in fact, take Shedeur Sanders, the Titans take Cam Ward, their best option is going to be Jackson Dart. So I'm going to go completely outside the box and say Ole Miss's Jackson Dart for the starting quarterback of the Giants.
Can I just make a suggestion just that nobody's sure talking about? It sounds like everybody hates Russell. It sounds like the Steelers want Aaron Rodgers. And this, did you hear Charles Robinson said this morning that the Steeler coaches don't like Russell Wilson? And Gary, I think it's Dulac, he's covered the Steelers for forever in Pittsburgh. I heard him last night on NFL radio, and he said that Arthur Smith hated Russell Wilson and that maybe they could come together and see eye to eye, but that there wasn't a great relationship there between the two. It sounds like everybody hates Russell Wilson. Sean Payton hated Russell Wilson. Pete Carroll didn't want to bring Russell Wilson back when he could have instead of trading for Geno Smith. Why don't the Giants just call Ryan Tannehill? I know we didn't play last year, and I know he's old. But if you're in the market for Aaron, and you're in the market for Stafford, and you might reluctantly have to go with Russell, or you might have to overdraft Jackson Dart, why not just call Tannehill? He's not bad. And it's, again, a lot better than I think some of the other options out there.
I was surprised he didn't get an opportunity last year with someone. So I'm not sure where his desire is to play at this point, or if he was putting off vibes that he wasn't really all in on joining a team. I'm not really sure, because I'm with you. Of the options out there, Ryan Tannehill's as good or if not better than most of them. And I would put Aaron Rodgers in that category also. I think Ryan Tannehill, if he came back to playing like the Ryan Tannehill of a couple of years ago, which we don't know that he would, but if he did, it's not going to be that big of a difference with Aaron Rodgers at this point in Aaron Rodgers' career. So I'm not sure, but I can't really answer it because I don't know where Ryan Tannehill is in his headspace about wanting to play.
Number three, as a Tennessee fan, how important is the SEC basketball tournament to you?
It means zero to the fortunes of this Tennessee team in the SEC tournament. And I've seen it so many different ways. I've seen Tennessee teams that, you know, go on a great run and get to the championship game. I think the year they lost to Auburn, but they beat Kentucky in that classic game in the semifinal. And then they go and they play a bad game in the Sweet 16, or not the Sweet 16, the second round, and lose to Michigan. It feels like, by the way, Hunter Dickinson's on that team and feels like light years ago, and he's still playing in college at Kansas. Either way, then you see a game like last year. They come to Nashville. They get the double bye. Dalton Connect, everyone's wanting to see him play. They tip it off in the afternoon against Mississippi State. They get run out of the gym by Mississippi State in their first game. And they go to the Elite Eight, and they're a few points away from going to the Final Four. Mississippi State, meanwhile, who looked great in that game, gets blown out by 18 by Michigan State in the first round. I just really don't think it matters as much as I go along. Now, the teams that are on the bubble, Texas's win over Vanderbilt yesterday was clearly big. Oklahoma with a big opportunity. They needed that against Georgia last night. It means a lot for those teams to win some games, make sure they're locked in, and maybe get a little bit of momentum going. But I really do think for those teams that are battling for the number one and two seeds in the tournament, those top four in the SEC, I'm not really sure how much it matters. I'm going to go ahead and lay a prediction out there too. I think two of those top four seeds will lose, at least two of them, tomorrow. They will be one and done, and they will be home getting ready for Selection Sunday. I think half of that top four between Auburn, Florida, Tennessee, and Alabama, two of them will be gone by late tomorrow night.
In all seriousness, though, if you were the head coach, like let's say you're Nate Oates, and you get beat tomorrow night, do you care?
No, it's all how you spin it, right? Like, I don't think you want to see some bad habits creeping in or anything, but if it's just one of those games where you just don't have it, the other team's playing great, then you're not going to be upset about it. All the focus is then going to go to, you know, matchups in the tournament, where you're going to be going to play, all of those things. So, no, I don't think – and, I heard Rick Barnes talking about it and was asked how important is success in the SEC tournament. And, you know, he kind of said, well, it's important. He said, any tournament you enter, you want to win. You know, he's talking about preseason tournaments and Thanksgiving weekend tournaments. And so, yeah, you want to go in there with the mentality of trying to win the thing. But I just think if you lose on Friday especially, it's in your one and done, it's just not that big of a deal. Now, if you get to Saturday and you're in the Final Four of it, I mean, go ahead and win the daggum thing. That would be my mindset, right? If you go that far and you've won the one game and you're in that Final Four, I think that's where the intensity really ramps up, is that semifinal Saturday, the SEC, where the arena's packed and you got teams who are really good left playing. That's when it starts to go to an NCAA tournament feel for those games. I don't know if anybody loses on Friday, they're going to lose much sleep over.
Number four, how worried should Vanderbilt be after dropping their third straight game yesterday to Texas? Mark Byington after the game said he was not worried. But how worried should they, A, be about making the NCAA tournament, and B, more importantly, how worried should they be about the way they've been playing?
Yeah, I don't think they should be worried at all about making the tournament. I think they're in. I'm kind of with Mark Byington on this. First off, the season's already a success for Vanderbilt, right? I mean, nobody expected NCAA tournament the way they had been playing under Jerry Stackhouse. He brought in a completely new team to Vanderbilt, and they got to the NCAA tournament in a year where the SEC is the toughest it's ever been. So kudos to Mark Byington. They could lose in the first round, and Vanderbilt fans will be, you know, upset about that, but it's a successful year, the fact that they made the tournament. And I think the way they play, Jared, because they're so reliant on three-point shooting, they're so reliant on Edwards getting hot, Tyler Nickel getting hot at times, that's going to come and go. I could see this team getting to the second weekend and being a Sweet 16 team because they get hot at the right time. I could see them being down 19 the way they were to Texas yesterday in the first round against whoever they play because the shots aren't falling. So I say all that to say I don't think that their play the last few games of the season – or them playing poorly for most of the day yesterday against Texas, I don't think it's going to have any bearing on their success or failure once they get to the NCAA tournament.
Okay. CBS, number five, CBS and Turner in a conference call said that they are not in favor as of right now of tournament expansion. Meanwhile, Big 12 Commissioner Brent Yormack says that the league should expand, or the tournament should expand, to 76 teams. What do you make of NCAA tournament expansion?
I think they should go ahead and expand it. And I understand why CBS and Turner doesn't want to. It's the perfect television product right now as is. Like, it is the least effective way to crown the legitimate best team in the country when you're talking about a one-and-done scenario. It's also the best single tournament in American sports. And I'll argue that till the day I die. So both can be true, right? It's not really fair. It's why you play series in professional sports to see who the better team is when you get one shot at them, but it makes the drama so much. And I'm all for more of that drama. Now, is it going to feel as impactful on Monday and Tuesday if you expand the tournament, you're playing some of these games and whatever the equivalent of Dayton is, Boise, Idaho, or wherever you want to open with some other opening round games? No, probably not. But I can also understand that we're up to like 370 Division I programs now, 360. And the last time they expanded, it was in the 200s. So when you add a bunch of conferences, a bunch of new teams to those conferences, I can understand it's also okay to add 8 teams to the tournament because you've got a lot more teams competing in Division I basketball.
Last one for you, Chad Withrow, on the hot seat. Where will Cooper Kupp end up? And does he still have anything left?
I think he's probably got a little something left. I mean, I'm trying to think, where is he going to end up? I have no idea. For his sake, I hope it's with a contender. You know, you see Buffalo loading up right now. I mean, they're clearly a team that's still in the window of, we felt like we let one get away last year. We need to get home field advantage in the AFC playoffs and go win a Super Bowl. And they're going for broke on that. I could see him helping a team like the Buffalo Bills. And, yeah, I think he's probably got one more. He's not going to be the great Cooper Kupp we've seen with the Rams in the past, but I think he's got a really good season left in him. And for his sake, I hope he ends up at a place where he can probably, you know, do some damage and play well. And maybe the Cowboys as an option for Cooper Kupp, too, is one that I'll throw out there. But I'm honestly still not quite sure how good the Cowboys are either. So I don't know if they fall into the contender mode of what I'm talking about or not, because that team is so up and down.
I said last one. I lied. One more, because we did break this today on our show at the very beginning. Your thoughts on SEC Network's Taylor Zarzur as the next play-by-play voice of the Tennessee Titans?
I think Taylor Zarzur will do a good job. You know, I think he's got the track record of someone who has, you know, done stuff for ESPN and SEC Network and all of those things. So he's a pro. He's good at what he does. I think he's going to do a good job. I don't think that part of it is a bad move for the Titans. I will argue this, though. I do think that this decision by them is just sort of another in a line of decisions to me that feel completely out of step with their fan base and with a respect to the Titans in Nashville and what fans want and what fans remember. I'm biased, clearly, but they had a chance to hire someone with institutional knowledge of the Titans organization that stood in a locker and talked to Steve McNair, that talked to Travis Henry and Derrick Henry, that went on road trips with the team, right? That knows everything about it. It's like when the Vols hired Mike Keith, it was the 100% no-brainer. Every Tennessee grad, every Tennessee fan of the state wanted him to be the next guy. They hired him and it was a celebration. I think the Titans had a chance to do something that would have been bringing someone on with that level of institutional knowledge. And instead they went with a guy who, to my knowledge, has zero ties to the city of Nashville or the Tennessee Titans organization, probably because he can put on his resume that he's, you know, called games alongside Matt Stinchcomb or whoever he did for the SEC Network. And that part of it, I don't really get. Again, no disrespect to Taylor Zarzur. He's a good play-by-play guy. I think he'll do a great job. But I do think it's just another example of a team that too often makes decisions that kind of fly in the face of what the fan base and what this city and what real Nashvillians and real Middle Tennesseans want at times. And that part of it does make me a little bit mad.
So I guess I would argue, because I clearly you're talking about Hutton. My point would be this, which is if you were looking for the best play-by-play guy available, maybe that is Taylor Zarzur. Again, I think Taylor Zarzur is fine. If you're looking for the best play-by-play guy, maybe that's him. If you're looking for the guy who probably could resonate with the Titan fans and connect with the Titan fans the best, it probably was Hutton. And I do agree with the sentiment of, you know, are you more worried about how it's going to sound on 3rd and 16 on a, you know, Sunday game against Jacksonville, or are you more worried about your fan base when there's a big sit-down interview of who's doing it? Is it this guy that they don't really know? It's like a sterile play-by-play guy or a guy that people know and, again, I think has a lot of credibility in Titan circles in Jonathan Hutton.
Yeah, and there's no probably to it. It is Jonathan Hutton. That would have been the choice if you wanted to go that route. And that's who should have gotten it, and I'm on record. He should have gotten the job, and I think it was a mistake of them not to do it. And I'll just ask every fan this question, because you're right. I mean, Taylor Zarzur may be technically, you know, with the mathematics of play-by-play, a better play-by-play guy than Hutton. I don't know. He's done it a lot more. than Hutton, so he probably should be. But when you tune into a game on a radio network of a team, I don't think, first off, the people tuning into that are fans of the team 99% of the time. And I don't think they're sitting back thinking, boy, you know, I really wish this guy technically was better. When Bert Bertelkamp, who just retired to a standing ovation in front of 26,000 people at the Food City Center in Knoxville, I wanted to say Thompson Bowling Arena, I don't think that fans of Tennessee care. Man, he's really stepping over the play-by-play guy when he yells, money, money, Bob, over and over. They want someone that has a connection to the team. That's what Mike Keith brought them. Dave McGinnis has quickly ingratiated himself into this market and is definitely a part of the fabric of the Titans because of what he's done, and he coached for the team at one point also. Jonathan Hutton would have been that guy. I don't think fans give a damn about how technically sound a play-by-play guy is when they come in for the job. So, yeah, again, I think it was a mistake. I also think that Taylor Zarzur will do a fine job.
Well said. Chad Withrow, as always, on our program, this time on a Thursday instead of a Friday. Chad, great stuff. Enjoy the basketball this weekend. We'll talk next week.
Have a great weekend, Jared. We'll talk to you again next week.
All right, that'll do it for us live out here again at Assembly Food Hall. Thanks to them today for all of the great hangs. Thanks to the pharmacy for the great food. Again, 30 eateries out here. They're fabulous. Stillman and Company. We'll see you all 102.5, 106 for the game.